Welcome to Mighty Parenting, the podcast with real, raw, and relevant talk about raising teens and parenting young adults. Here are your hosts, Judy Davis and Sandy Fowler.
Welcome to Mighty Parenting, a community where we help you raise teens and parent 20-somethings so they can become happy, successful, and emotionally healthy adults. I am Judy Davis, and I am here with my co-host, Sandy Fowler. And honestly, today's show has me a little emotional and a little bit nostalgic. I mean, it's the eve, you know, it's Christmas Eve, and the year's coming to an end, and I just and get a little choked up because I cannot even believe that we've been on air for this long. And I have to confess something before we get into the meat of our topic today, because for the longest time, I resisted doing a podcast. I'm going to just put it out there. And Sandy knew that
I kicked your butt.
Yeah. Sandy knew that it would be the perfect way to not only connect with you, but also to create a community and provide information to families around the country and around the world who are raising teens and parenting 20-somethings and dealing with all the challenges that come up during that time of their lives. And, you know, it's a tough season, I guess is the best thing. And I resisted it because I went, how are we ever going to do justice to this in just getting on the air and chatting? And as you know, she's right. And I'm not going to speak for her, but I'm going to say that I am humbled and I'm blown away by the reception of this show, the impact of this show, and your response to not only the show, but our guests and our mission to be this upstream solution to help parents and families and mentors and educators understand how to deal with those unique challenges. But the funny thing is, that's not only it. I think the emotional side of me is just going, I can't believe, you know, I have kids in their mid to late, you know, 26 and 25 and established on their own. And I am surprised by all I have learned about parenting and myself and ways that I could have done better and the ways I could do better in the future. And that's what we're going to be talking about today. And we're going to share some of our aha moments and life-changing insights that impacted our lives right along with you. So, yeah. Sandy, I know you. Well,
so one, thank you for actually doing the podcast with me. I know that you had reservations and concerns and probably a little fear baked in there because it's new. I remember when I first started my Heartfelt Holidays radio show, it was so scary to do that. And it was exhausting when I first started it. So I appreciate you taking that leap with me and doing this because I know how much value we have gotten through the years, just having each other to talk to. And then, you know, one of us will go, oh, you know, someone's having a problem, and we might reach out to a friend we knew. And that's what Mighty Parenting has become, is this place for parents to come in and go, hey, I never thought of this, or wow, that's really amazing, or have you guys tried this? It's become that place. And you know, and yes, we're still actually kind of in our infancy here, so I can't wait to see how much it grows. So, yeah, we're going to share our insights today, and I'd love to get emails and Facebook posts and, you know, Instagram comments and all of that from any aha moment that anyone has experienced on the show. So we're all over the internet with the handle Mighty Parenting, and you can go to the website mightyparenting.com, comment on the post there, or email us connect@mightyparenting.com, because you're going to hear some of our aha moments, things we learned. We want to hear yours. We also, if you have things that you're like, you know, you guys haven't covered this, or I need more of this, let us know that too. But this year really has been incredible also for me personally, Jude. I knew that there were things I could learn. There's always stuff we can learn. But again, too, with my kids being, you know, getting older, getting through college, starting to go, I've got one that's, you know, starting to move out on her own. She's finished college now. And it has absolutely shocked me how much I have learned and how much this show has actually impacted, visibly impacted our life. You know, the times and the places where I have seen that something I heard or learned on the show, I put into practice and there was a cause and effect right there. You know, like something happened that I could literally go, oh my gosh, that's because of the show we just did.
Yeah.
And I appreciate that. I appreciate all of our guests who've come on to share that. I appreciate you just talking through things, both here on the show and in our Patreon after chats and things, you know, some of the real talks there, some of the extended conversations with guests. I get a lot out of that. And so I guess I want to start off with going like, well, I'm going to share what the biggest thing for me has been about these conversations. Like, you know, we have all these conversations. I said, you know, I got insights and tips from our guests, and there are two overarching things that I have seen in my life and in my family. And one is that it's really changing my relationship with my girls. I had a good relationship, and all of this is crafting it into great relationships. And two is that I'm finding more of those sort of those constant low-level parenting stress and anxiety feelings are diminishing and some are disappearing. It's just like lightening that parenting burden. Those are like the two big overarching things. And there's specific things from specific shows, but those are the big things for me.
So I need to dig in a little bit, especially to the first one. You mentioned that it changed your relationship with your girls. And, you know, yes, it's an overall arching thing, but how so? Like, what are the things that you notice that are different now than before? Because I think that's something our listeners, you know, can relate to and would want to know. Like, is it worth going through the changing of our parenting styles or shifting our thoughts and stuff like that? What reward is at the end? And I know you've got them.
I did. Well, so sometimes it's just because we have a lot of it is conversation. I've opened up new and different conversations. I've opened up uncomfortable conversations because of our guests, or I've taken a new angle, or it's given me the excuse to have a conversation. I'm just like, hey, we recorded this show this week and we were talking about, you know, we were talking about like Mark Hundley. Okay. So Mark Hundley talked to us about grief and loss. He's amazing and has so many areas, but he specializes in grief. And just opening up my mind to that grief is not just when a child loses someone close to them at death, that there are all these other ways that grief come into our kids' lives. And so I started talking to my girls about just things that have happened in their life, you know, ask them about things that might have been painful. I'd be like, hey, we had this conversation on the show and Mark made me look at grief differently. Are there things that have happened to you that you feel like you're kind of grieving losing a dream or not getting to do something you wanted to do or things going differently than you thought? You know, it just being able to have those conversations with them when we did, this was great, the Talking Sex with Your Teenager with Kath. That show hits on both points. So if you remind me, I'll come back to that one later. But that was funny because with my girls, actually the four of us were in the car driving across state. We'd gone to visit family and we were coming home and Paradise by the Dashboard Lights came on the radio. And actually, I think I had picked that song not really truly remembering the details of the lyrics. It was just, it was this fun college song, and we were taking turns picking things to listen to. And so as it got into the song, and you realize it was about two teenagers going all the way kind of a thing, but I handled it differently than I would have in the past. Because of Kath's conversation with us, I went, okay, my kids do want to talk about sex with us. They want to understand, but as she said, you know, they want to understand the feelings, the emotion. How does all of that play out? So instead of having everyone just sort of get embarrassed, especially with dad in the car, I mean, you know, it's one thing when it's mom and two girls, but now you got dad in there too, right? So I just kind of let it play out, and we made a few comments, but over the course of the next week, I had major conversations with my girls about dating and relationships and thoughts and feelings and all of that. I want to say detail, and that's not the word, but all of that emotion and all the things that they're struggling with, it opened that up. So we had these intense conversations, and we did that with that one. We did that with, I'm trying to think off the top of my head. So, we did that. I did that with the college show with one of my kids. You know, college is changing. College is changing, what you need for a good first job. I had an in-depth conversation with one of my girls who, she told me then that, you know, she graduated and she's afraid she majored in the wrong thing. Can you imagine how much stress that is for her? But because I open the door, we have these in-depth conversations, it seems like they're opening more doors, that they're opening up more about the deepest parts of their lives, the scariest things in their lives.
Well, and you know, it's interesting because I think that kind of ties in to my overall thing, is I find that I am listening so differently. And that's what I hear you saying too.
Yep.
When I'm talking to my kids or other teenagers or other parents, and even in our relationship is business partners, I find myself listening differently. And then instead of just jumping in, I'm asking what they need from me. And it brings a clarity. So when you're talking about that kind of stuff and having those conversations with your girls about majoring in the wrong thing or doing this, you're coming at it from this place of no judgment, no stress, no attachment to the answer. And therefore, the kids will open up to us so much differently. And I had the example last week. My daughter is, you know, she's in the thick of it. She has two little ones, a five-year-old and a year-and-a-half-old, and works full-time and new house, and they just moved to Houston, the whole nine yards. And we were talking about something, and she shared something with me, and then a little bit later, she texted me, and she says, "I know it's not what you wanted to hear, Mom, and I hope you're not disappointed," or whatever. It was something like that.
Uh-huh.
And because of all that we have done and all the personal self-growth that I've done because of the show and the catalyst that it provides me to do that self-introspection, my reply back to her was, "Honestly, I have no attachment to it. I'm here because I just want to support you in finding your happy. And if that's the way you have to figure out what is your happy and isn't, so be it." And it was just this, both of us were just like, whoa, because I am such a meddler. I'm a fixer. Have to take care of other people and make sure that they're always happy and taken care of. And because of, just like you were sharing, those things, that overall underlying shift that I think is so has taken place in both of our lives. That's the proof in the pudding is conversations, like you said, in the car, at, you know, with one of your girls about education, with my daughter about that stuff. The way we're approaching it is having our kids open up to us, and now they feel comfortable sharing and asking for our guidance because they know we're not judging and fixing.
Right. And that's, you know, we hear that over and over and over from mm-hmm. our guests, is that as our kids become, throughout their lives, we have to do it to a degree, but as they become teenagers and definitely going into, you know, those 20-something years, we have to let them make decisions, make choices. We need to stand back, listen, as we have always taught, you know, without judgment, without all of those things, but to also let them make those choices, good, bad, or indifferent. Let them make the mistakes. I think part of it is, Judy, is a lot of it are things that we knew, but and I did them to some degree here or there or whatever, or I tried to do it, but being in the show every single week keeps these things front and center for me. So when something happens, the ideas from the shows pop up. I've been going through one now for a couple of months, and it's this piece of, you know, watching my baby step out into the world and wanting to just be helpful, but letting go and letting her, like, you know, even just wanting to get up and make her breakfast before she goes to work in the morning. And, you know, the first week she was going, we cooked all the food the night before. I cooked it all and said, hey, you know, here's breakfast. And she was like, okay, show me how to make the scrambled eggs, Mom, because I don't know how to make them. The next week, I got up to make her breakfast. She had already made eggs the night before. And I know that's not like a huge thing.
And oh, but I know it is. That,
yeah. And I know it's, I'm trying to think what the actual core of that message is, but it was like, I was just excited that she did it. And part of me, the part of me that wants to say, hey, honey, don't worry. I will make your breakfast for you, you know, on Thursdays before you have to leave so early. I just didn't. And mm-hmm. she appreciated very much, you know, that on that Thursday morning that I was willing to make her breakfast, but she doesn't need it. And I realized that I need to not get up and do that because of the message it's sending. Before, I would have just thought, oh, I'm just helping her. I'm showing her that I'm supporting her. When what I've learned from my guests is that she may see it as me thinking she can't do it.
Right, exactly.
And so I can follow her lead better. And part of that is just because it's front and center, because I stay in that mode.
Mm-hmm. And these, you know, one of the things that I hear you saying, and something that I have down on my dot point list to share about what we're doing, is these shows and the guests give us specific tools and action steps that I can implement in my life. And by keeping it all front and centered, I remember to go to those coping strategies as opposed to some of my old coping strategies that were unhealthy and didn't work and weren't empowering to my kids.
Yeah.
It's this shift of taking off, you know, we've talked about parenting through blinders and through our own personal experiences. And the biggest thing for me that's happened is that my filter has been taken off and replaced with a filter of not just my experiences, but the experiences of those who know better than me. And it's humbling. You know, like I mentioned at the beginning, as someone who is an overachiever and wants to make sure that I do everything right, and I can tend to be a perfectionist about some things, and other things I'm like, oh, dismiss it. It doesn't really matter because it's not important to me. I have found this middle ground when it comes to raising my kids that is coming from a filter of, I don't have to be perfect. I don't have to know what to do. But if I can build and use resources that are out there, then I can actually help my kids grow to be the adults that they want to be without all of the strings attached and without all the guilt and the regret and wishing I would have done things differently. You know, they're just starting their lives. And I don't want them to have to be dealing and uncovering some of the crap that's been leading their behaviors when they're in their 50s. And by sharing the tips and tools and strategies that I'm learning from these people who are experts in specific topics, I can actually give them healthy tools. Mm-hmm. And I didn't realize how often I was sharing my own limiting beliefs or my shortcomings as the way it should be done, and seeing them struggling the same way I did.
Right.
So let it go.
That's what Paula talked about, Paula Galli. Mm-hmm. And she did her show on self-love, right? And she talked about, you know, as parents, we can subconsciously pass on our garbage to our kids.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of, you know, how we talk to ourselves and how we let people treat us and how we treat ourselves, and that we need to shift that. Well, to me, that's kind of the same thing as what you're saying there is. And that, well, actually, this is something you and I have talked about. We said before, actually, I think it was when we first talked about doing this reflections show, is we were surprised how much self-improvement we have experienced. Because this is, again, there are some overarching themes through these shows. And one of them is that when it comes to parenting, one of the most effective things to do is work on yourself.
And model it.
We hear, right, that's exactly, over and over we heard, how do we teach this to our kids? You know, we always ask, how do we help our kids do this? How do we teach them? Model it. If that's not, sometimes it's the only way to teach them. Mm-hmm. And it makes total sense because seriously, otherwise you're going, say, do as I say and not as I do.
Mm-hmm.
So we have grown so much. And I love that you brought up our business relationship because I think that we get through the sticky stuff a lot better now than we used
to. Yeah. Oh yeah. And we, it's not about who's right or wrong or whatever. And we're not imposing our ideas or the way it should be. We're saying we're open to that middle ground again.
Right. You know, it's that conversation piece.
Right.
Which we've always talked a lot, and we've always known that the other person doesn't actually judge us and stuff, but there's something different. And I can't even put my finger on that.
Right.
But it's there. And I don't need to be able to name it to appreciate it.
Right. Well, and you know, it's interesting because you talked about the whole working on ourselves. And I think that for me, that's an overall massive benefit of listening and doing these shows every week. Because, you know, you talk about our self-care episode, I think it was like at the beginning, around episode 14, we talked about self-care and the importance of it. And when we talked about emotional eating or society and body image, the remarks we make to ourselves and how we talk to ourselves and the way we grieve and the way we interact with social media, all of those things affect our emotional health. And mm-hmm. the reminder to me was, take your own damn medicine. It's like we talk about making sure you're doing stress relief, making sure that you're dealing with your feelings as they come up. Make sure that you're communicating what's really going on, not the thing you think everyone wants to hear. And don't pretend like everything's okay when it's not. It's that whole reality of, I guess it goes back, I don't have to do it all right. And like you said, it gives me permission to do it wrong because I'm not judging myself. It's like I'm learning new skills all the time. And that doesn't change as our kids get older. You know, as they get a significant other and have babies of their own, or they're just starting out. That's why I love this podcast, because even though it's geared towards parents of teens, if you're starting to do a lot of the things and the strategies that we're sharing when the kids are little, your teen years are going to be so much easier.
Well, that's what we've heard from people.
Yeah.
People with little kids are listening and they tell us, they're like, oh my gosh, this makes things so much easier. And yes, it will make teen years easier because you're starting out your parenting with a skill set that's setting you up for a good, strong relationship with a child who you are teaching the skills and in instilling what they need to be happy and successful and emotionally healthy. All that's coming. And the younger that your kids are when you do it, the better off you are. So while our examples and things are from the teen years, because that's our focus, teens and 20 somethings, but the principles go through all ages and the principles go with your grandkids too. You know, mm-hmm. I mean, because you've got the two grandkids and they are little, but you're still going to be using a lot of those same things with them that mm-hmm. you learn here. And like I said, I was surprised how much with my kids being in the college age range, you know, I was surprised at just how much the show would still impact my parenting and our relationship. And I hadn't realized how much all through their 20s. And like you said, with your kids actually being out of the house and on their own, it's been not funny, haha, funny. I don't know if ironic is the word either, but interesting to me to hear how much you're actually still parenting.
Mm-hmm.
You think, oh, they move out and you're done. And that's so not true.
Right. And it's funny because it's not parenting in the traditional sense. It's being a sounding board, and they come to me for advice, or, you know, they'll call when they're getting ready to make a big purchase, you know, a home or a car or something like that. And they're calling for our insights and our experience. And I think that they can do that because we have this open thing. And I had to laugh because, so my son was getting ready to buy a new car. And he had found one and he called his dad and was asking a bunch of, you know, technical questions about the car. And Jeff shared that he didn't think it was a really great deal. And it was funny because instantly I went, like, I'm listening kind of, you know, it was on speaker and stuff. And Jeff's like, I don't think this is a good one. I think you should hold out. It's not, you know, it's a little over your budget anyway, and blah, 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 blah. And instantly my gut was like, don't say no to him, you know? And while Alex was, you know, he hung up by saying, I don't know what decision I'm going to make, but thanks for the input. And we were like, okay, whatever you decide is great. But those are just some of our thought process of what you would think. And he didn't get that car, waited literally like 6 weeks. He was without a car, still riding his bike kind of a thing. And when he finally ended up getting a car, he didn't call us for the second car. And it went through, you know, he got it inspected before he purchased it. It was, you know, new to him, but used car. And it was like, the guy said, this is the best deal I've seen in months. So it was just this thing of, don't have an expectation of what they want to be the right thing. I don't know if I'm explaining it right. But
it was, your gut was, he was excited, let's support his excitement kind
right.
of thing. And what we've learned in the show is what your hubby did, which is,
yes.
Hey, they called. share an opinion, say, do what you want, but you asked my thoughts. These are my thoughts. And then let them go do what they do. And if he'd bought the car, then you would have supported him in that too.
Right.
But it's that not, and I know what you're talking about, is that that underlying desire to keep our kids happy. So we still think we're supporting them.
Right.
But we're supporting them in what's actually an unhealthy way.
Right.
Just supporting what looks like happiness in the moment isn't.
Right. Well, and I think that what is so powerful about this show and why it's so timely, because I hear that all the time. Oh my gosh, the show is exactly what we were looking for at this time and all this kind of thing. And I think the reason that it is gaining the traction that it does is because we often parent the way we were parented. And we learn those skills from our parents and our grandparents and things like that. And the reality is, those skills don't apply to a world that now technology is so central to every single thing we do.
Yes.
So the parenting, how you parent, has to shift. And we are part of the generation that has to shift without any information. And that's what we're providing. So that's that, you know, talk about, you know, the opening of the show. That's the thing that makes me emotional and makes me humble, because we actually are finding techniques and strategies that work in a day and age where we haven't been prepared with the skill sets to really empower our kids in a healthy way. You know, we didn't have technology. I mean, we didn't have social media. We didn't have all those things. And so therefore, we don't understand and are often quick to dismiss. We don't understand the emotional impact that stress and anxiety is having on our kids right now. You know, I think of our shows like the suicide prevention shows and the emotional health and teen behaviors. You know, I think of all of those shows, sleep deprivation, FOMO, all of these kind of shows like that. Those words didn't even exist when we were teens.
Yeah. And that was another thing with that, you know, changing relationship with my kids. I can't remember which show it was in. Maybe you remember, Judy. It was one of those huge light bulb moments for me where our guest was talking about how competition, because of the internet and social media, everything is now global. And that's what our kids are dealing with. And having, you know, talking to my daughter about that and going, I always believed you when, you know, when you told me that you were never doing enough, that you weren't good enough, whatever, I believed that that's how you felt about it. But I could never understand why you and your friends all felt this way. And I'm like, now I understand it. And that, again, built another, you know, put another good solid brick in the foundation of our relationship, because she's like, oh, so you get it. Like, yeah, I believe you wasn't enough. It was like she could tell that I believed her, but there was a little part of me that still didn't, because I couldn't understand why the heck they would feel that way, because it made no sense to me.
I'm thinking it was Neil Brown's show, the power struggles and things like that. It might have been that show. If
I will look it up and put it in the show notes.
Yeah.
I don't think that was it. But
okay.
And you would think with that much of an aha moment that I would remember. And I apologize to our guests from that show because they helped me so much. But yes, you're right. There's so much going on in the world. And the other thing that I was thinking about when you were talking is it's not just our parenting that is benefiting, or at least not just my parenting that's benefiting. I'm benefiting in my marriage, in my relationship with my parents, even with my grandmother, because I'm taking these same principles and applying them to those relationships. Because the principles that we're learning, like it was Neil who said, Neil D. Brown, he said, you cannot make another human being do something.
Mm-hmm.
you can push, you can manipulate, you can try every trick in the book. But the bottom line is you actually cannot make somebody do something. They have to acquiesce in some way. And so taking those concepts and putting it all together and going, okay, you know, these are adults. They are responsible for their lives. Therefore, it is not my job to make sure that everything goes perfectly and smoothly. It's just like with my kids. My job could be to share my thoughts or say, you know, I was thinking about this and here are some ideas, some things you might want to consider. And then just supporting them as much as I can when they make their decisions, or helping my mother see that as her mother ages. And, you know, and problems came up and they had to move her into an assisted living facility, all of which was incredibly difficult and unbelievably stressful. But I was able to share with my mom bits and pieces and things we've learned from the shows. And I saw that helping. Did it make everything easy? No.
Right.
But it did help her. And more importantly, it let me be a support person for her because of the way that I was approaching things.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't telling her she was wrong or she just needs to do this or whatever, which is what a lot of people were doing.
Yep.
I was a sounding board. As we say in here for our kids, you know, be a sounding board, be a coach. I did that in that relationship. And it helped, and it helped her stress level to know there was somebody in her corner. And again, yes, it was. It was horrifically stressful. But, you know, she came through it, she worked it out, and life is marching on.
And she found the balance. You know, that's another word that I hear in our shows a lot, is finding that balance of what is works for every person involved, you know, from, you know, the teachers to the anybody. It's just finding that balance is key, and finding that support system. Like you said, you know, she just needed support. And oftentimes one of the aha moments that I've had is oftentimes what we think is support isn't.
So tell me, like, you know, well, ideas, examples of what that looks like. Because I totally agree with you, but I think this is important to dig into a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that when we think that helping our kids with their college essays and helping them do the college application process, we believe we're supporting them so that we set them up to have the best options. And what we're really doing is putting our own expectations onto it. So that would be one thing. So,
well, and stopping them from learning the skills.
Right.
Because if they aren't writing the essays and making them good, they're not practicing those skills. And a lot of parents will go, well, they just won't do it, or they won't do it well. Then what we've been told, and this is really, really hard, especially, you know, college is a very touchy point for us as parents, right? And to have a kid not putting their best foot forward and knowing that their options could be more limited because of it. And yet, this is what our experts have told us. We have to let them experience.
Mm-hmm.
Is experience those limitations because of the choices they made and the work they did or did not do.
Well, and hindsight, in our case, hindsight is 20/20. You know, when... And not that I'm comparing, I'm just showing the opposites here.
Mm-hmm.
Heather, my oldest, had a plan. She knew where she wanted to go. She knew what she wanted to do. She knew that school was a means to an end of what she wanted. She didn't love school or anything like that. She just knew these are the steps she needed to take. And she did it all herself. All of a sudden, she came in with a proposal and this and this. And next thing you know, she's like, I need to be at school at this day. You know, it was this unfolding of her desires and what she wanted. And then the other side of it, I pushed my son more. I helped him do his college essays. I helped him make sure he got his applications and financial aid in on time and all of that. And the reality was, that wasn't the path he was supposed to be on. That was the thing I wanted for him, to give him the most options, because he didn't know what he wanted. And therefore, it really didn't unfold in a way that made him feel good about who he is and what he wanted.
I just want to stop for a second. Yeah. Because I love the way you said that. And again, Lisa, that's that graduating high school, are they going to college? Are they doing a trade school? Do they not know what they're doing? That's such a difficult and touchy time for parents. But to look at it and go, my child's life needs to unfold in a way that they feel good about themselves, because that's really what's going to set them up for a successful life.
Mm-hmm. Right. And, you know, it's interesting, because when he was in treatment, his therapist said, I don't know if I've seen a child with less self-confidence than your son. And it was like a 2x4 hit me across the head. And it was this eye-opening moment of, what do you mean he doesn't have self-confidence? And so I turned to him, you know, it was a family session. And I turned to him and said, like, why? What do you mean? He's like, Mom, you doing things, I understand you did them because you wanted to help me. And I was perfectly happy to let you do it, because then I didn't have to do it. And if it didn't work, it was your fault, not mine. He didn't take responsibility for his life until I went, I'm going to work on me and figure out why I'm taking responsibility for your life and your happiness, and pull away and let him take charge of his life and build those skills. Hindsight is, I wish I would have had a lot of the skills that we have learned about this year, so that I could be supportive of him and not send him that message that I didn't think he could do it himself.
Well,
that's what I did.
It was like I said about the breakfast thing. Mm-hmm. You think you're being helpful, or again, you're talking about major things. You're talking about, oh my gosh, you know, if I need to help make sure he gets on that college path. And in his case, he had some learning disabilities. There were good reasons for you to be helping. And that's even more challenging. You know, we each have a child that does have, they have needs that are different. You know, mm-hmm. My daughter is atypical. She needs different things from me than her sister does. Mm-hmm. And we kind of need to help more. The problem that, you know, we get screwed up in is what that help looks like and when we need to do it, and that we and still do need to step back and let them struggle.
Well, and it's funny, because when you said we need to help more, everything in me went, is that true? You know,
right. We and need I've to thought help a lot about that. It's in it when I, and it's that difference of how we define help.
Yes.
So like with my daughter, yes, she did and does need more help. But what she needs help with is learning skills.
Right.
She doesn't need me to do more for her. She needs me to help her get the skills she needs to manage it. Like, so Leslie Josel in the time management for teens. You know, she talked about how many of the problems that come up in parenting and the frustrations that we have that we don't think of is time management and executive function issues. And in there, she gave a formula to figure out, okay, what should your expectations be about how your child can, you know, manage time, what their executive functioning skills should be. And when I did that formula and figured it out and went, okay, so my, you know, college daughter really is more like maybe a high school freshman. I don't remember exactly what it was. I don't remember if it was high school freshman or eighth grade or whatever. But that mindset shift for me was huge. And again, impacted my relationship with her, because I changed my expectations about what she should be able to do on her own. right now, mm-hmm. but I didn't do it for her.
Right.
I'm using, and this is one I still struggle with because time management and executive function is a total no-brainer for me. So one of the big mistakes I had been making in helping was going, did you think about this? Did you think about that? Did you do this? Well, what I've learned this year is to frame that differently and go, so you need to be in South Bend tomorrow for work. Do you have a plan for that? In fact, that was Leslie's thing. Do you have a plan for that? What's your plan? And that lets them think it out. And that's the difference between giving them skills and doing it for them. Going, did you get your clothes together? Do you have your food? Do you need this? You know, you need to make sure you account for traffic. And oh, by the way, it's going to snow tomorrow. As opposed to, do you have a plan for that? What's your plan? I'm still finding out if she's going to get there on time. And I can then tweak and go, that's really great. How's the weather going to be? And she has to make that leap of, oh, snow and ice can change my drive time.
Mm-hmm.
That's her building that skill versus me doing it.
Well, and it goes back to asking, changing the way they communicate, empowering them with strategies that are healthy and actually translate into their lives without the expectation that we know best, because it's their life. And we are, Dennis said, and I'm trying to think of the episode, he said, be a passenger.
Oh, yes.
You know, move over.
Moving into the passenger seat of our kids' lives. Let them
exactly. Go. And I think that is key. And I know, you know, Sandy, we could talk about this forever and a day.
Well, I just want one other thing is I did go and look up because I was curious mm-hmm. what, you know, you and I are talking about our aha moments, but I was just curious, like, what our listeners' favorite episodes were.
Right.
And there were two. And one of them we did mention and the other one we did not. So the two favorite episodes of the year, ready?
Right.
So it was episode 25 with Neil D. Brown, Parenting Power Struggles. Are you tired of fighting with your teen? And Noel Medor in episode 34, where he talked about connecting with your teen through the five love languages. And those are themes that we talked about today.
Yeah.
That, you know, we've learned to connect with our kids better, to let them know we're really in their corner and all of that kind of thing. As well as I mentioned, you know, Neil told us, you cannot make another person do something. And so in the show, he told us what to do instead. So those were get our listeners, at least based on downloads, mm-hmm. you know, the two most popular shows, I'll say. So maybe that's not favorites. So if people want to let us know what your favorites are, I want to know. I'm seriously, you know, I want to know. I'm curious.
Mm-hmm. Well, it has just been amazing year. And, you know, as you go into the next few weeks and sitting back, I know next week we are going to be talking a little bit about New Year's resolutions, because Sandy and I have such, we have thoughts. Well, I'll just put it that way. We have thoughts and soapboxes about that whole topic.
Yeah. So I want to say one thing right now. So we are not going to be going, this is how you lose weight or this is how you stop smoking. We're going to talk about the truth about New Year's resolutions. And if you really want them to work, here are things you can do so that they do work.
Right. Right. And, you know, we appreciate you. And as Sandy mentioned at the top of the hour, we want to hear from you. We want topics that resonate with your needs and your wants. So don't hesitate to reach out to us and let us know what you need and what you're looking for, because that's our goal, is to empower you so you can raise your teens. And, you know, if this is the first time that you are tuning into Mighty Parenting, we want to welcome you. You got a fast flash of some of the topics that we've talked about and a little bit of insight into Sandy and I and who we are. And we invite you to go to mightyparenting.com because we have support for you in a lot of different things. And if you are here listening, remember that you are a mighty parent. And oh, I'm going to do something that Sandy is going to kick my booty for.
I hate it when you do this.
I know.
It shouldn't say that. It just scares me.
Right. So Sandy she's not going to say this, but she created a Christmas secret workshop. And
we just finished it last week.
Well, I'm reopening it because if someone listened to all of our stuff and they're smack dab, you know, it's Christmas Eve today and they're going, my holidays have been so stressful, so crazy. I have to say that Sandy's course and workshop is so powerful. And while it may not help you for tonight and tomorrow in dealing with everything.
It's not going to solve all that.
Right. In 24 hours, it won't. But it is this awesome workshop that you can use to create a holiday season that you actually enjoy. So I want you to go to sandyfowler.com/holidayhelp and you'll see what she has there. Because let me tell you, if you get your holidays in line and use some of the tips and tools that she shares in that, you are setting yourself up for a year that is one of the best. And you can create those memories and connections with your teen in such a powerful way during the holiday season that it will open those lines of communication for you to deal with the tough stuff that the new year might bring. So we just want to say thank you for coming. And remember, you are a mighty parent. Thank you for tuning in, and we will see you next week.